welcome to the Mug Meetings Summaries Podcast. I'm Gilbert Detilieu. Our February meeting started with the usual roundtable discussion, which covered a wide range of topics.
I'll start off. Quad-core machine at home, Mint Linux current version, derivative of Ubuntu. I pulled up the system monitor because I noticed that some of the applications were just sort of stalling on me. And the machine seems to be functioning fine in terms of hardware, but the software just sort of sits around and twiddles its thumb and then makes up its mind and then does a whole bunch of things at once and then freezes again. Comments? A 4 gig of RAM and 1 gig of swap.
Just on the off chance that's the cable.
Basically watching a program. Yeah. Programs kind of breeze, like I go from one program to another in the virtual consoles, or not consoles, but the virtual windows, and the desktop, and they just sort of sit there blank, except for the the thing that's monitoring the system monitor. System monitors keep going.
Can you run top?
Yes, I can.
And does it say what software is eating up?
It just comes up and says, okay, everything's fine. You know, nobody's using no CPU cycles.
Quad core.
Are you using like VESA and a really, really crappy video card?
No, I'm using NVIDIA card drives.
As soon as that goes on solid, then you can push the power button.
One of the requests that was that is instead of using X for the two virtual terminals, to start something on one, start something on another, and look back and forth and see if they're kicking.
I think that would turn off.
It's on solid.
It's actually my
major
heart problem
because
I can just
stop. Okay. Is it
really
good drivers or
toys? Okay. They perform really well.
If you have another machine with X, you can try running a bunch of programs on the machine displaying them elsewhere to see if with X somewhere else they still install the new frame.
Yeah, that's an option, except my two active machines at the moment are the one that's stalling and this one. And I haven't been able to get X to display, you know, from Mac to a PC and vice versa.
When it runs well, how long does it run well for?
It varies. It will go anywhere from half an hour to 5 minutes.
Did you look at syslog to see if there's any disk errors? Oftentimes when it's reallocating bad sectors, it'll
have that type of behavior. That could very well be. I haven't checked syslog.
Yeah, it's like barline messages or whatever they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
57.
That's my guess.
Oh, no.
Did you have any load?
Load across all the processors, it was, negligible, and I don't think anything was pulling more than 3% on any processor.
CPU use. I mean, the statistic called load, which is caused by different things, not necessarily CPU use. It appears in top, it also appears in the subway, and we use the type command.
I haven't checked that, but in the system monitor, it also has a list of the load, and it was just, you know, staying around like less than one.
Oh, you saw it. Okay.
You're determining beam stuff to see if it can interrupt.
You could run a version of Linux that boots from a CD.
Yes.
And see what that does, see if that happens.
Could be hard drive.
Mm-hmm. Hard drive, power supply, all sorts of fun stuff. And the software go
No RAID, just 3 very large SATA hard drives.
That's coming up in the program.
Well, it's not likely, but it could be interference with, say, the SATA CD or DVD drive, because, well, it was designed Windows only. It's got this wonky firmware in it. Again, you can get rid of it, but you got to go in through Windows to do it.
Right.
That's a black bar across the middle, all right.
I have a friend who wants to do wireless, like mobile wireless 3G on a computer. What's the most cost-effective way to like get wireless internet? Like, you know, not Wi-Fi, but cellular wireless on a computer.
Rogers Rocket Station.
Rogers has a stick.
Yeah.
Sadly.
What are we looking at? What are we looking at for pricing?
Like low usage.
You get the USB with a stick for $199.
Less if you argue.
Do they charge?
I think they also have the MIPI.
That's the mobile hotspot in front of them.
Of course, Bell Canada just recalled a whole bunch of those, like 7,000 of them, because they were exploding.
Battery. I think that recall is over and new stuff's replacing it.
Hopefully.
I think that was Bell that did that.
Okay, to make it even harder, this person also likes to go down to the States a lot. Can you then use that type of thing down in the States? Or?
Not without a ridiculous expensive charge.
You can get it for about a megabyte in the States.
Yeah, if you're onto the States and you want to do data, and you're going to do a substantial amount of data, you're better off to buy a separate cell account from a U.S. provider and just swap SIMs when you cross the border.
Yeah. Assuming it's on.
Okay. So you can keep the one hot stick and swap the SIM on it. They don't come locked down if you want to outright.
Okay.
Is that what you're saying? I'm asking.
Well, either whether it's a stick or you tether it to your BlackBerry or your iPhone or you use a MiFi, regardless, you're better off getting service from a U.S. provider in the States.
Data across borders
is brutal, yeah. Of course, now that I'm working with a cellular company, I understand why it costs so bloody much money, too.
So they don't mention with this, you got to have a U.S. postal address in order to acquire one of these U.S. accounts?
Not always. There's ways around that.
That was actually in the news tonight.
It gets backhauled.
And Channel 5, they were talking about that.
Data gets backhauled to your home provider.
Basically, that it was better if you're going to the States to get an account down there. That was actually in the news tonight.
You can go into Walmart and buy a cell phone for about $20.
Yeah.
And that's what they might pay. $10 or $15. It comes with a bunch of stuff on there already, which eventually runs out. But even when it runs out, it's still fairly cheap.
And you can buy it by the day. There are plans in the States that you can buy for as little as $2 a day.
That's $60 a month.
Right? Yeah, but if you're only down there a week, saying that they will sell it to you by the day.
I have
a Rogers account, so I pay $10 a month, and it gives me
Any other topics?
I think your presentation on my screen would be somewhat
fruitless.
the central numbers authority has run out.
Okay.
But that means they've distributed what they have to the regional ones, and they haven't run out yet.
slash 8.
But they run out of power when they're slash 8. So
yeah. You can still get slash 24.
But yeah, anyway, no more slash. They can hand out some for a while, but it should be a few months before somebody or other is going to run short and not really have anything at all.
Current prediction is 6 months or so.
Yeah.
A bunch of, like, Comcast in the States is dual stacking by June.
Yeah.
And government regulations in the States say by June 30th, all of the government entities will be dual stacked as well.
Right.
So.
Of course, three quarters of the government is expected to fail that requirement.
Yeah. Well, they're at least doing something.
Yeah.
Or trying to.
It's like NGSC broadcast requirements in the States. They pass the law and then they keep moving it up.
Well, it would be kind of like NTSC, but with aliens hovering overhead that just prevent any new TV stations from coming on the air anywhere ever again.
Yeah.
You got to do something.
When you're out, you're out.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's really important that
you
the switch you have, and otherwise we're going to, we won't have a peer-to-peer internet. We'll have a publishers and consumers internet exclusively, and that will suck. And some telecoms might have to be dragged. it's not necessary that they're going to get the TV, especially when they're tied in with the content industry.
Well, one of the biggest obstacles isn't the telecoms. One of the biggest obstacles is going to be the moderately advanced home user.
Yeah.
Because none of these things do IPv6.
That's true, yeah.
Unless you use some of the third-party firmware.
Not counting third-party firmware.
No, even the high-end ones do. The WRT's high-end will. The new firmware out from...
Oh, okay.
That's but that's like the new...
Yeah, that's brand new.
For the home, couldn't you...
Yeah, these things have been selling like
6 to 4 in your home network?
Well, yes, but that would require that device be the 6 to 4 gateway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it only takes a box between that and the internet, and your 6 to 4 and...
Theoretically,
and you wind up double matting everything. Yeah.
All the ones that are currently there do have IP addresses, so it will run for quite a while.
Well,
I don't need that many IP addresses at home.
Oh, come on.
Well, no, you'll need one, but.
There's no Wednesday morning. Was not connected today.
A lot of carriers.
I'm currently using two.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of carriers are looking at massive mat systems to bridge the gap. If you want IP and you want it, like, one carrier that I'm working with is almost out of IP addresses right now, so they can turn up maybe another 100 subscribers or so, and then they're out. So when they run out internally, what are they going to do? They're going to say, well, okay, if you want service, here's the qualifier. We're going to give you a private address. We're going to NAT you out to the internet. You have no inbound ports. Sorry, that's life.
But for a lot of customers, that port will be sufficient. Yeah. And for the others, they'll just have to migrate to IPv6.
Yeah.
If they offer IPv6, as opposed to cutting everyone off.
Yeah. Well, this particular carrier is nowhere near ready for IPv6. The only IPv6 running on the network is things that have been accidentally configured.
Well, there'll still be Torito, right? By Windows. That's great and all, but it's still just, I don't know.
It doesn't really solve the problem. Well, there's also IPv6 Day coming up soon in
June, right?
I think it's June, which will be sort of the closest thing to a flag day anybody can come up with, which is a bunch of major sites. Rob, do you remember who they are? Facebook, I remember, is one.
Google, Facebook, Microsoft's not doing it, I don't think. There was another company that said they were going to do it, but they're doing it on an alternate day. So, stuff like that.
So basically, it's going to be one day when all the major websites on the internet, well, some of the major websites, actually go live dual stack, so that everybody can find out what breaks when they operate in a dual stack environment.
Lots of stuff breaks.
Oh, yeah.
People only have,
12
years in
it. or something, yeah. Well, look at the time zone change a few years ago. It had been legislated, yeah, it was like 8 years prior. Nobody heard of it until 8 days prior.
Yeah, before that, look at Y2K.
Believe me, I had to deal with that.
Hang
on. I have a customer who's using MTS, and I would like to provide remote support through remote desktop. And when I asked her to tell me her IP address, it's a router IP address. And she says she doesn't have a router, she's just got the MTS box.
Yeah.
How do I get in?
What is myip.com?
Myipaddress.com, any of those, yeah.
But then there's still going to be NAT issues, right?
Yep.
He wants to know how to forward through the firewall, right? Like forward through the MTS router to get into the PC, right? That's what you want to do.
Parts, yeah. That, or you get her to connect to some, if it's insecure, you can use something like LogMeIn, which is not great, but it's effectively, you connect to a service, then somebody else can connect to that service and connect through to their computer, and it does the NAT because the client is actually connecting through NAT out of their system to that service provider.
Aren't those all for pay?
LogMeIn is free for a certain number of things, or it was years ago.
And then there's the TeamViewer thing.
But so it is possible, but it's not as secure. You go through a third party, take your pick.
If you have access to this local that you can go to and actually look at it, because there is no router the way. It's actually part of some service or something. Is there a hardware box? Or?
MTS actually took out her router and replaced her modem with some integrated unit that's got TV.
Two-wire box.
Yeah.
It's a router.
The two-wire boxes do exactly the same thing this little Linksys does.
Is it locked down, or do they let you in?
The password, the default password is either the MAC address or the serial number, and it's printed right on a sticker on the bottom of the box. But you have to physically go there. It supports UPnP, so anything that's UPnP aware can open up a port.
DNS possible, too, to get the address, because it'll always change.
Yeah, you need to resolve it somehow using dynamic DNS or find the IP address at that instant.
Yeah. You want to get an 8-point time on dynamic DNS service inside.
Last time I tried talking her through how to connect to the router and tell me what it is. And
what is my IP.com?
Okay, I will be over there in half an hour. Forget that.
Well, somebody have control over it. I just went with less.net. It uses MTS as hardware. But I use his services, and I got static IPs across the board. Local providers and wholesalers. Like MTS will wholesale the line for $15 to the carrier to just that box. Mm-hmm. And he just charges you whatever. It gives me a static IPs, right? So it doesn't change. Same
Something like TeamViewer is good. We use that when I work on occasion because the free version is not should be used at work. But you can download you can have the person at the other end download the client. You don't need admin privileges to run it. They just have to install any software, and then they just redo the number off the screen. And you can connect to their session without bothering with the port forwarding and firewalls. And then once you're in, then you could do all that stuff.
It's decent.
At least you get started. How often
does TeamViewer go through a server? Or?
Yeah, it's another third party connection server.
Number four.
We'll often do at work is we'll just email them a link right to the download executable. And then they don't even have to do anything. Just click the link, click run, it opens, they read you the number, and then they connect.
That's the teaser. Yeah.
That means you
email them with your email address.
In the front header.
C-A-T-S-H-I.
I was just going to say the only thing easier that I found
so they use another browser, you send them your link off or whatever, and they click allow and install ActiveX control, and it basically opens up a remote desktop from them initiating the connection.
That's using the
scenario. I can't remember the name of it. I mean, I'm sure there's more than one, but and you have to pay for the software, but that was just it.
I've got a fully Ubuntu server.
Last week, there was a bit of a blurb on the CRTC decisions, right?
Yeah.
And there was local news on it there. The Channel 5 news. Anybody see that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a little, our little friend there, Les, was on there, too, I guess. Yeah. Like, it was an example of a local carrier. Yeah. Small guy. So pretty funny. So he actually showed me he's actually got a number of stations set up there. It's just like, great. So what was that again?
Well, you mean, just as part of
his location, yeah.
It was a funny case study, though. He's not offering unmetered access to his customers. He is metering, and he'll exercise some discretion with his initial cap, but...
Sure, technically, it's probably... Well, officially, it's metered, but just don't.
And so it's not like he was passing on unmetered services getting from telcos on his customers.
But at least he's not forced to have the same plans that Bell or MTS has.
Yeah.
He has the option of changing it if he wants to. So, at this point.
Yeah, $2 a gig is a little insane.
Yeah. Was it just tenfold help syndrome on my part that was interesting? Came up as soon as Netflix came again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's just a coincidence.
I think that Bell Canada actually wants to provide all their services.
It's been brewing there. I would have let it just draw the
and Shaw wants to provide
Shaw's community. Been lobbying for user-based billing or usage-based billing for since they started. They've been lobbying for it and lobbying for it. It's been nuts. Because Shaw doesn't peer with anybody except in Calgary.
They're here with MTS now, finally. Here.
Is there a multi-tool in the house? We need a screwdriver.
I guess until recently they peered with nobody.
I have a non-multi-tool.
Small Phillips screwdriver.
I guess the Phillips too.
Yeah.
Look at this. Look at this serving deck here.
Oh, ask the children.
Yeah, that's too big.
How on it?
Who's there?
You got everything on that one.
I guess they're taking apart the building.
Just one of the non-functional projectors.
nice.
We have three video projectors here tonight. This is the most functional one.
Yeah. I heard that's interesting.
Are you functionalizing
that?
I'm scrolling the game to me. Maybe take off pause. CD display.
Blows a bit.
It is a DLP.
Is that a navigation bar in the middle?
Yeah, no.
Spaceships go up and down.
DLP. Sadly.
It's a 6-inch.
So I got a question. Does anybody know what the meaning of the Google thing was today?
Jules Verne.
Oh, okay, because I have been on it and tried to get an explanation. I mean, it's pretty, and so everything I did was like steering my little ship around. So I couldn't figure out what the occasion was.
Jules Verne.
Okay, I'll ask a question. I actually posted this to the MUP group. I've got a U40. I don't know if it's a RAM. It says it's DDR2 667 ECC registered. So, I'm looking.
Well, that in and of itself is easy to find, is how many pins on that slot?
240.
Well, then that's...
Registered ECC.
Yeah?
It's not common.
What's the question?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, sure it is. I just buy a batch of it from memory 10.
I know you were saying, John, it's actually very specific. It has to be exactly, almost sun-branded.
Almost,
yeah.
Yeah, it's
almost.
Is it normal DDR2 registered SDRAM?
In theory, it is, but I've only been able to make Sun branded sticks work.
Do did you actually find registered?
Yes.
That's not good.
I did this on a couple of Sun servers, V210 and V240, and I bought RAM from Memory 10. But you have to be really careful with, it depends on the firmware version, and this is where it gets into, you almost got to have access to something solid, because depending on how new the firmware is, if there's very much speed difference there, they'll reject it. Because the later firmware is going to verify the absolute time that these pairs of RAM, if they're not right, real close, it'll throw one out, or both. But usually just one, because they have to be very close to each other. And it has to do with the memory architecture, but they're not even going to know what the time is.
But if you get the same batch, it should go through fine.
Yeah, the trick is, the RAM, I mean, the stuff I was looking at, it has these PC2700 designators on it. It's sometimes hard to map that into the speeds that they're actually looking for. And if you miss, it absolutely won't work. I was lucky because I bought a few sticks, Oracle, Samsung, and a huge dollars for some RAM sticks for some of these older machines. And they want $700 for this memory upgrade.
Except for
I got it. I think I paid $7 for these two sticks, which kind of in a crapshoot. It took me, I had to send them back once and change the speed rating, and they were very good about it. Memory 10 actually has good lookups for the part numbers on memory10.com. They have really good lookups for the Sun part numbers. They'll tell you which Sun machines it'll work in, but they're a little bit behind on. They aren't aware of the firmware stuff that Sun's been doing. They tighten up some of the firmware sometimes. And in this particular one, they put a new version of RAM in there that allows you to have mixed sizes of RAM. They still had to be very close in speed, and they actually tightened up the speed checks. But you could have 5, 12, and just 10 for a change instead of having that absolutely all the same size. So your mileage may vary, but this guy was good. I got the wrong kind. He gave me an RMA and I was shipping stuff back to Simply Sonora. Different than you, basically. Sunday, I think.
Can I ask the other question?
What is registered?
It's for buffering, that's all.
I'll say that.
Oh,
there's two levels.
Yeah, they have registers on the board itself. So the values are stored in the DRAM capacitors. And when they get fetched, then they get stored in a register.
So it's a data register right on the SIM stick.
Meaning it's like the same kind of thing that your CPU is storing small amounts of code.
But it's incredibly fast. A register is like 1 millisecond cycle time.
Yeah,
it's just
an actual cycle time, so
you'll
have a delay, but...
That's part of the reason they do that, because in their pipeline and the process, we do pre-fetching and stuff, so they order it up out of the slower RAM first, they get it in the register, and then when they're actually transplanting it into the CPU, it's registered to the register, so it's a very fast transfer. That's why it's registered. But the other part of it is it's registered and buffered. And it's ECC, so their correction is also buffered.
Because the register serves as a buffer.
I think there's actually another layer there that supports faster. So I haven't got that one straight, but I always know I got to get the register used.
Buffered allows you to have more aggressive timing. That's pretty much the only reason for it.
Memory is all that.
It's like a record that needs to be did
to it. For what it's worth, writing a small OS in Moloch and trying to do that with the registry, pain in the ass. Not really pain in the ass comparison to straight, like, low memory.
Low mem's so easy.
I can't believe what I just heard.
Yeah, shut up. it's just a simpler that's given up. No, this is in C, damn it.
Hey, is that thing open?
Yes. DD-WRT.
Your mileage may vary. DNS doesn't work so well on
it.
Really, you're going to start off with the orchid?
Does anybody else have anything else they want to bring up?
Well, two real physical kind of things that I brought up here a while back that I'm into component stuff too is Oxford University just managed to establish quantum linkages in pure silicon substrate.
Fortune-like games.
And now they're just looking for a way to organize that into logic structures, and they'll have some of the fastest, least real estate-oriented planning chip architectures that I've seen that can pull it off. Because it's all about inducing quantum effects between two areas that have no instantaneous, no parasitic problems, no planning and real estate being close to the chip and not piece stuff. So it's going if they pull it off, it's going to be really interesting. The other one that I heard about, hey?
What's the physics?
It's they've been able to induce quantum entanglements in pure silicon substrates, which means that I can cause an area here, if I affect it, it will automatically affect this one. Any matter of distance is irrelevant, and it's instantaneous.
So the problem with that is that they can't keep it for more than a second right now.
Yeah, but they
just entanglement only lasts a second. It doesn't really help.
Well, you know, we have the same issues with certain superconductor things, too. I mean, it's interesting. The other one I know nothing about at all, but I heard about it, was that somebody has been able to establish semiconductor junctions in graphite substrate rather than silicon, and it opens up a new area of physics there too. And they've already developed one and have a problem linking it to the outside world because it's so freaking fast. It's factors faster than silicon, and they're having trouble with timing trying to actually interface it out. And so much better.
So where are we at with racetrack memory?
I don't know.
Hard drive size.
I'm just always interested in how they're proposing to get around more than on the
laundry.
Eventually, they're going to have to come up with something really good. What is it? Every 5 years, the speed of hardware is up
to 18
months.
The original one is not the speed double, it's the number of transistors to the fixed size chip double.
Okay. It's still a pretty lofty aspiration.
Actually, I read an old interview with the president and CEO of Intel in the 1960s where they predicted that that would happen. I think that was more of a statement of intent.
That's when Moore's Law came in.
Remarkably reliable.
What's amazing is that this many decades is still there.
Yeah, and it's still basically for the works.
Yeah. You have to add more cores now to get done. It's a lot of cores.
Well, that transistor is.
Well, that's why you look at the number of transistors, because it's held steady that way. You think speed depends on the time speed.
Funny. Yeah. Sure.
I read an experiment where they got a quantum wire to work in the late 70s. So why is it taking this long?
They're waiting for the flying cars first.
It's more complicated than you think. And if you know how complicated it is, it becomes more complicated than you think.
Is there a law for that?
I think the problem is Pfizer versus uncertainty.
But you can't know what it's called.
When you read quantum memory, you change it.
That's what do you know about? Core memory was the same way.
I think I know the cause one of the grand reflex.
A little small announcement. Those things are pretty probably are not interested in the least might be. There's a small group of younger people eating.
Hey,
that's
true.
Meeting at the Low Pub around 6 every Tuesday. It's called Skull Space, but it's basically a group of 16, 17 guys that like to tinker with hardware. But I think we counted tonight, and there was like maybe one person that was not in the IT field. So if you want to have a drink, talk to some people that are lower on the totem pole, but know what they're doing. It's a cool place, and we're looking at doing a lot more of the hardware aspects of like Arduinos and prototyping lab and that kind of stuff. So it's neat stuff. Drop by if you want.
Sure. Low pub, it's like
it's you know the High Hostel.
Yeah.
Low.
Below it.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just over here.
When you leave this building, look around and look for a high on a sign, and it'll be below that.
It's to your left if you walk out of this building.
Like, it's like two numbers
that's
down
every Tuesday at 6.
I think we walked 6
to
8.
Tuesday at 6?
Yeah, it's like right before this meeting, and it usually wraps up in time when we can walk over.
So, is there any chance that we can decide to make a
You're not younger. You know, when I say younger, I mean intellectually about the same as opposed to, you know, preteen idiots.
If you think of that constant transition.
How much more offensive can you get?
Quite offensive, actually.
Wait, think so?
I think it's time to stop digging. All right.
Why not?
Anyways.
So I'll just probably be creepy.
You take it, because
not torture him longer.
So what do you do when you tore the thing apart?
Cool. Last topic.
We didn't really
anything less crazy. Less crazy for the past 2 months.
Were freeze and stuff like that.
I didn't really see it.
Northrop Grumman has successfully test flown a stealth fighter. Automatic, like, computer controlled takeoff, flying up to 5,000 feet and landing all by itself. No remote pilot or anything.
Oh.
Yay! What could possibly go wrong?
It's a stealth drone?
What?
A stealth drone?
No, it's not. Well, I guess it's a drone, but it's not a remotely flown thing. It's a computer was actually taking off.
The stealth robot.
Did a couple of circuits and landed.
So it's autonomous.
It's the, what is it? The
UAV?
It's just unmanned.
No, it's not a UAV.
It's a real plane?
It's an actual fighter plane.
Like $2 billion
with bomb bays and thousands of pounds of bombs as possible. It's the, F-47B or U-47B?
X-47B.
Yeah, that's right. It's one of the games.
Yeah.
If anybody cares,
you've never read
Jeopardy,
there's a fellow named Bernard
Hinge.
Oh,
the
14th.
The
IBM computer... challenges the Jeopardy champions.
Oh God.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I heard Watson. Seriously.
Watson.
Yeah.
When again?
It starts on Valentine's Day. I think it's aired for 3 days.
That's going to be a nice accomplishment in decoding unnatural tricky
language.
That's why they're doing it. Or
yeah.
A chunk of what they're doing.
So it's
a large farm of Power 7 is running a train to understand that was more better.
Well, I think that it's the text that comes up on the screen.
It's supposed to do recognition, and it's supposed to understand nuances.
It's doing the natural language, but I think it's typed in. I don't think it's
quite. Oh, I don't know.
I could be wrong. That's what it sounded like.
Hope it doesn't turn out like the book from Pop Fly goes, the guy in the box who's answering all the questions. I'm sorry, I can't do that, Alex.
What is the guy from Cheers Clip? Not on Jeopardy? And his final answer was, or his final question was, he couldn't answer it, so he says, "Who has never been in my living room?"
That's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. For more Mug Meetings summaries or for more information about the Manitoba Unix User Group, check out our website at muug.mb.ca.